Well, our theme throughout the month of December has been an unexpected Christmas. We know that Christmas time brings with it unexpected things. It's certainly that first Christmas was unexpected, right? No one was expecting the birth of a Savior into the world. Mary certainly wasn't expecting to become miraculously pregnant with Jesus. Joseph certainly wasn't expecting Mary to come to him and say, before they were married, I'm with the child. Oh, by the way, it's the Savior of the world. No one was expecting what took place that first Christmas. And we've said throughout the series that there are going to be unexpected surprises throughout every Christmas season. One of the real classic Christmas movies of all time, as far as I'm concerned, is Christmas Vacation. Some of you have probably seen it, right, with Chevy Chase and Randy Quaid. And thinking of unexpected elements of Christmas reminded me of some unexpected visitors in the movie where Clark and Ellen have to deal with some unexpected guests. So let me show you just a real quick clip from that to get us on the right track this morning.
Oh, the house is gorgeous, Clark.
I'll get into this all-American part. Get! Come on out here and see what the park's done to the house.
So, yes, sometimes we get some unexpected guests at Christmas. Remember in the biblical Christmas story, unexpected guests show up. Certainly, Mary and Joseph were not expecting a visit from the angel, from Gabriel, who came and told them of the birth of Christ. Certainly, Mary and Joseph weren't expecting visits from the shepherds after Christ was born, and for shepherds to come along and begin to worship Jesus and all that they had been told by the angel. A couple of years later, Mary and Joseph had some more unexpected visitors when they got a visit from some wise men from the east who came to bring gifts and to worship Jesus. So Christmas can be filled with all kinds of surprises and unexpected events. However, our focus has been on what we can expect. And every Christmas, there are certain things that we can certainly expect to be true. We focus so far on that every Christmas we can expect there to be hope. Christmas is about a celebration of hope and the hope that comes with the birth of Christ into the world. The hope of a salvation that has come to us in Christ. Every Christmas we can expect to celebrate a demonstration of God's love as Christ most clearly and fully shows us how much God loves us by sending Christ into the world to be our Savior. And this morning, what we are going to focus on is joy. A third element of the good news of Christmas that we can expect to be a part of a celebration during the Christmas season is the joy that comes with Christmas every year. You can expect every Christmas to be joy-filled, or at least that's the way that it should be. Right? Remember what the angel told the shepherd in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. He said, "Behold, I bring you good news." Right? And so good news is what the Christmas celebration is all about. Good news that there is hope for us, hope of a salvation that has been given to us. Good news that God does love you and that God does care about you and that God does want you to be in a relationship with Him. And certainly Christmas is a celebration of good news in that Christmas is about joy. That is what Christmas is about, joy. Now, sadly, there are a lot of people who miss this part of Christmas. Christmas, for many people, joy is absent from their celebration. Truth be told, for many, Christmas is about everything except for joy. For many, Christmas is about stress, it's about loneliness, it's about pressures, it's about bad reminders of loved ones that have been lost, it's about strained relationships, it's about awkwardness from maybe being around people and family members that you hardly know, or maybe that you just don't like very well, and you are forced to kind of spend a few hours with them or a few days with them. It's about exhaustion from the hustle and bustle that the Christmas season often brings with it. And it's about a lot of things for a lot of people, but joy is oftentimes absent. And my hope this morning is that as we begin to hone in on a celebration of Jesus and His birth on December 25th, that what is not lost on any of us this Christmas season is joy. Because if we're not filled with joy, or joy is certainly not a part of our celebration, then we are missing what Christmas is really all about. Beneath all of the sights and sounds of Christmas, there's a message of good news. The angel said, "I bring you good news." And right now, there's nothing more important for you to understand that the truth of Christmas is a celebration of joy. As a matter of fact, it's a celebration of more than joy. It's a celebration of great joy. And if you want to follow along on your outline this morning and take notes, that's how we'll begin on your outline. It is imperative that you expect Christmas to be a celebration of great joy. So the rest of Luke 10 says, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." And that's the key words, I think, in that verse. Great joy. Not just regular joy. And I put on your outline, Christ's birth is not merely a celebration of joy, but of great joy. Christmas is not just a celebration of normal, everyday joy. It's a celebration of a great joy. There are normal joys and pleasures that God gives us every day. Right, just normal joys and pleasures that really since the beginning of creation, God has put forth for the world at large to just enjoy. Things like a spouse, the joy of children, the joy of good friends, the joy of a kind word or a friendly gesture, the joy of maybe a victory in life, the joy of a good tasting food that we really like, or maybe the joy of just a good cup of coffee. Maybe it's the joy of creation in a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, or the joy of a snow falling from the sky. Maybe it's the joy of just going outside on a crystal clear night and looking at all the billions upon billions and trillions of stars that are in the sky. The world is resplendent with God's good gifts that bring joys and pleasures and delights to our life. But the joys of the world can't begin to compare with the joy of Christmas and what Christmas is all about, the birth of Christ. Christmas, the Gospels tell us, Matthew and Luke tell us that Christmas is a time to celebrate a great joy or a supernatural joy. It's a time to celebrate something different than what we've ever known or experienced before. Christmas is a celebration of Christ incarnate, of Christ becoming flesh and dwelling among us. It's about Emmanuel. Emmanuel is another name for Jesus that says God is with us. It's a celebration of the birth of our Savior. So when the angel heralds Christ's arrival, he says, I bring you good news of great joy. And when wise men from the east travel the great distance that they traveled to find Jesus, Matthew 2:10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly, not with a normal joy, not with the joy that comes from some of the other things that God has given us to enjoy, but with a great joy, a joy that surpassed just the regular, everyday kind of joy. So let's take a few moments this morning and first look at why Christmas is a celebration of a joy that surpasses all other joys. And that's, again, what we want to really hone in on, how Christmas is a celebration of a great joy. And why is that? Why does Christmas bring us to a point and a place where we get to experience joy like we've never experienced before? And then we'll close out our time focusing on how this great joy needs to be seen and expressed in the everyday aspects of our life. But we'll start with why Christmas is a celebration of great joy. And the answer that is given to why Christmas is a celebration of great joy is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. So verse 10, the angel says, behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Then in verse 11, the angel gives us the reason why this is good news of a greater joy than all the other joys. And the answer is because of the birth of Christ, it's the birth of a Savior. Right, because the birth of Christ is the birth of a Savior. So this good news of a greater joy is a celebration of a Savior. Verse 11, the angel says, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It is in the coming of a Savior that we were able to move from experiencing ordinary joy to great joy. With the coming of Christ, all the joys we have ever known or experienced, they're accentuated, they're deepened, so that we can know a greater joy or a fuller joy, a more complete joy. The joys of this world, at best, are fleeting. They're fleeting pleasures. Right, all the joys that I mentioned just a moment ago, those joys are not going to last. They're going to come to an end. And when it's all said and done, they'll leave us looking for something more. They'll leave us longing for something more sustainable, more satisfying, something that is deeper. And this is why the angel said that the coming of Christ to be our Savior is good news of great joy. It's because our every need and our deepest longings and desires and greatest capacity to know and experience full joy is given to us in Christ. See, just the everyday joys in life, everyone in the world can enjoy those, right? That's why Jesus tells us in the Gospels and why Scripture says that God causes the sun to rise on the righteous as well as the evil. And there are joys in this world that everyone can experience. So it doesn't matter if you're a believer in God or not a believer in God. It doesn't matter if you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ or you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There are joys that just anyone can experience who can see a sunset or who can see a sunrise or who can have a relationship with someone else that brings them joy, who can have a relationship with a husband or a wife or have a relationship with a child or who can enjoy a good tasting meal or enjoy a good cup of coffee or experience victory in the world in whatever fashion that comes to them. Those are all joys that anyone can experience, but only through Christ can we experience this greater joy or this great joy. And it's because this kind of joy is really reserved for an experience that we can only know or have in a Savior who has come to us. And so I put on your outline, there are several reasons why the coming of a Savior gives us great joy. And the first is this, is that this Savior gives us forgiveness. This Savior gives us forgiveness of our sins and removes us out from under God's righteous judgment. I told you 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, that our greatest need in life is the need to be saved from our sin. Out of all the needs we have, we are a needy people, make no mistake about it. Our needs are vast. Our needs are great. But none of those needs surpass the need of being forgiven of our sin. We are all sinners. And I don't think you have to think too long to agree with that. I think we would all readily admit every day it's easy to come up short. Every day it's easy to make mistakes. Every day it's easy to act in ways that are unbecoming or act in ways that we certainly should not act or have thoughts that we certainly shouldn't have or do things that we certainly shouldn't do or not do things that Scripture very clearly tells us that we need to do. And so because we're all sinners, we all stand to be judged guilty by a holy and a righteous God. And that judgment is a just judgment. That if we stand before a holy and a righteous God on our own merit, on our own goodness, God is going to be completely just in finding us guilty because none of us have lived up to his standard of righteousness. Scripture says we've all fallen short of God's glory. And if the joys of this world are all that we have to experience, and there only awaits for us after this life a certain and a terrifying expectation of judgment, then our capacity to know and experience real, everlasting, greater joy is eliminated. It's eliminated if there is no forgiveness of our sin. If all that is to be expected is a coming judgment, then we will not know this great joy. That is why a Savior has been born that brings this great joy. The joy that the birth of Christ brings is the joy of knowing that when I believe in Him, and when I trust Him, and when I put my faith in Him, then I move out from under God's judgments and I experience a forgiveness that will bring me into an eternity of not being under His judgment, but being able to enjoy His infinite pleasures forever. And that is why Christmas is a celebration of great joy, because a Savior has come. And this Savior means I'm forgiven of my sin. And it's only through this Savior, it's only through Jesus Christ, that I have this promise of being able to be forgiven of my sin. This is why Acts 10:43 that I referenced there in your outline says this, of Him all the prophets bear witness that through His name, so the Him is Jesus, of Jesus all the prophets bear witness that through His name everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. Because it's only in Christ that this forgiveness has been made available to us. Because it's only in Christ that a payment for our sin has been made. This is why Jesus says in John 5:24, He who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Jesus is talking about forgiveness. We do not come into judgment. Why? Because we've been forgiven. And we pass out of death into life. And Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation because there's nothing to condemn us for, because through Christ, our Savior, we've been forgiven. All of these verses are messages of great joy, because it is only through the birth of Christ that the forgiveness of our sin and the removal out from under God's judgment is made possible. And then a second reason that the birth of a Savior brings great joy is because, B, this Savior gives us righteousness and a right standing before God. So the news just continues to get better, right? And so that is why this joy is building. It's not just a regular joy, it's a great joy. It's because the news is, the good news of a great joy is, not only are we forgiven, and if that was all that we were told, well, that would be worth celebrating for sure, and that would be a greater joy than what we've ever known. But there is something even more. Not only are we forgiven, but Scripture says that through this Savior, through Jesus Christ, we are not only forgiven, but we are also made righteous. So that we don't just stand before God forgiven, but then we have nothing else to stand on. We have now not only a forgiveness where the sin is removed, but we now have a righteousness that has been transferred to us, so that we not only stand forgiven, but we stand right with God, or we stand holy before God, completely set apart, so that we are not only forgiven, but we're righteous. And that's big news, because it's now because of this holiness or this righteousness that comes to us as a result of our faith in a Savior that we can rightly relate to and fellowship with God and know Him personally. Maybe the best verse that tells us this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And it says this, He made Him. Again, the Him is Jesus. So the He is God the Father made Him, Jesus the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. This verse is what is called the Great Exchange. An exchange has taken place, and it is an exchange that absolutely benefits us. And the exchange is this. We exchange our sin and our unrighteousness, and that is put on Jesus when He died on the cross and He bore the penalty of our sin. He takes our sin upon Himself, and in exchange, we lose our sin and we lose our unrighteousness, and we gain the righteousness that is Jesus Christ. Because Christ lived a perfectly righteous life, in whom there is no sin, in whom there is no imperfection. And that is transferred to us. It is a good deal. I mean, some of you who are business people, you deal with deals all the time, some good, some bad. Well, let me just tell you, it will never get any better than this deal. Jesus says, I'll take your sin and you take my righteousness. It's called the Great Exchange, and it is only available in this Savior who has come to us to bring us great joy. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 is another verse that speaks of our right standing with God. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. So there it is. We are holy before God, and it's all based on Christ, being in Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this righteousness that is given to us, it's called being justified. It's called justification. Where not only are we forgiven, but now we are justified, we are made right with God, so that we can stand before Him, relate to Him, fellowship with Him, be in relationship with Him. And so it's all for the forgiveness and the righteousness that is given to us is all for one purpose. And it's this Savior brings us into a relationship with God where we will find our fullness of joy. So being forgiven and being made righteous is all really for one purpose, and that is to bring us to God. It's to bring us to knowing God, being in fellowship with God, being in relationship with God, because it's only in God that we will experience this great joy. Again, there's a lot of delights and a lot of pleasures in life that people are going to experience outside of a relationship with God. But there is only a fullness of joy or a complete joy or a greater joy that will be experienced inside of a relationship with God that has been made available to us through the coming of the Savior who is Christ the Lord. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us this: For Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. Why? So that He might bring us to God. So the whole purpose of Christ being born was so that Christ could die on our behalf, so that we might be forgiven of our sin, His righteousness be given to us, so that we might be brought to God. Christ lived, and then He died, and then He was resurrected and live again, so that you and I might have life. And not just have life, but as John 10:10 tells us, have life and have it abundantly. A greater joy. An abundant life in the presence of God, being brought to God. Psalm 16:11, I've quoted this verse a lot for you in the past 3.5 years, but it just simply tells us this: in God's presence is fullness of joy. You want to know fullness of joy? You want to know a great joy? A joy that surpasses just the regular joy of life, of everyday common life? It happens in the presence of God, not outside of the presence of God. And the only way that we are brought into the presence of God is through this Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. I didn't put it on your outline, but it's another very familiar verse, John 14:6, where Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. No one. No one comes to the Father. You want to know fullness of joy? It comes from being in God's presence. You want to be brought into God's presence? It comes only through this Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus told His disciples in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. And then look what He says. And that your joy may be made full. You want to know full joy? You want to know great joy? You want to know complete joy? It'll only happen when the joy of Jesus is in you. And that only happens when you accept and receive and trust this Savior as Christ the Lord. It's because the Savior has been born to bring us into the presence of God, where our sin is forgiven, judgment is removed, and righteousness becomes ours, that Christmas is a celebration of great joy. Christmas is a time for this great joy to be seen and be expressed for all the world to see. And so if you're here today and you don't know this great joy yet, my hope and my prayer is that this Christmas season will be the season that you say, I want to know this greater joy. And I want to put my faith and my trust in Christ. It will be the best Christmas present you ever receive, I promise you. But for those who've already received this Christmas present, this gift of salvation that has been given to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and my hope is that the joy, this greater joy, will be seen in all the world by those who are experiencing this greater joy, and they'll be brought to say, I want to have that same kind of joy that I see in those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And the way they're going to see it, the way that this joy is going to be expressed, and this is how we'll just finish this morning, how great joy is expressed, how we're going to express a great joy at Christmas time so that a world will see that Christmas really is a celebration of good news, of great joy, is going to be one when this great joy is expressed in great praise and worship of God. Christmas is going to need to be a time where the people of God are worshiping God in a way that the rest of the world is taking notice of. And so Christmas is more than about trees and lights and presents and parties. And certainly Christmas is, that's all a part of it, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But if again, non-Christians can do that, right? Non-Christians can come together and be with family and be with friends and put up a tree and put lights up and share gifts and have a big party and have a good time together. And if they don't see that there's something more to our Christmas than that, then we are going to fail to show a world that Christmas is about a greater joy, and it is about a worship or an expression of worship and praise and adoration of who God is because of the Savior. And this is what we see happening in the first Christmas story. You go to Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. The angels, the angel has just spoken to the shepherds and said, for today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then it says in verse 13, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. And so the birth of Christ causes the angels to begin to rejoice and say, glory to God in the highest. The shepherds, after going to see the baby that they had just been told about, that would be dressed in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, they went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told them. What was their response? There was a greater joy that was welling up in them because of this Savior that had come that caused them to glorify and praise God. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, we are told that after coming into the house, these wise men, when they saw the child with Mary his mother, they fell to the ground and did what? They worshiped. Because that is the right response, the proper response. That is how this great joy is expressed. It is going to be expressed in worship of God. I put on your outline, great joy and God's glory are connected. They're inseparable. The more God is glorified in you, the greater your joy will be. The more you get that Christmas is a celebration of the joy of glorifying God because of who He is and what He has done and bringing us a Savior, the greater your joy will be. There is an inseparable connection between God's glory and our joy. And when we get it, when we get that we were made, when we were created to glorify God, then the more the joy in our life will well up and will be full, because we'll be doing exactly what we were created to do, and that will only take place through this Savior who has come who is Christ the Lord. Psalm 43:4 says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, or my great joy, to my abundant, all-satisfying joy. You go to the altar of God and you worship and you give God glory when you want your joy to be exceeding and you want your joy to be full. A second way that joy will be expressed, this great joy will be expressed, this great joy is expressed through all kinds of people. Through all kinds of people. Luke 2:11 says that Christmas is good news of great joy for all the people. So it's not just some people, it's not just one race of people or one nation of people, but it's for all people everywhere throughout the world. That's why John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that whoever receives him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's for whoever. I put on your outline there, great joy is not just for one group of people, but it's for all who put their faith in Jesus Christ. When we go to Revelation and we're given a glimpse into heaven, Revelation 5:9 says, they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you, the you again is Jesus, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So this greater joy is going to be expressed from men, from people, from women, from boys and girls, from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. Revelation 7:9-10, another glimpse into heaven, says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, and all tribes, and peoples, and tongues. They were standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they were crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And then a third way that this great joy is going to be expressed is it'll be expressed even through life's sorrows. Even through life's sorrows. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, the very verse, first part of the verse, he says that he was sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. And so there's a reality that we as Christians, we will certainly face times of sorrow, that we will go through moments of grief. We will go through difficult, hard, trying moments where we will experience sorrow. But this greater joy is a joy that will be able to be sustained even through our grief, even through our sorrows, so that we will be able to say, along with Philippians 4:4, that we will rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Even through life's hard, trying moments, even through moments of grief and sorrow, that's how this joy will be expressed. It will always be expressed, even through life's difficult moments. And so here's a truth, again, that I hope we do not lose sight of this Christmas season. Because I know, just sitting out here right now, that there are a lot of you who Christmas is a difficult time for. There's a lot of unexpected circumstances that are happening in your life right now. Maybe it's a physical circumstance that's hard to deal with. Maybe it's a relationship circumstance that's hard to deal with. Maybe it's a marriage that's hard to deal with. Maybe it's some children that are hard to deal with. Maybe it's something physically or something going on with your children that is hard for you to have to deal with from a sickness standpoint or a handicap standpoint. Maybe it's a job situation or circumstance. Maybe it's a financial. The list could go on and on. And those issues are very real. Those issues are very serious. And I don't mean to make light of those. And I'm not saying that those aren't hard things to deal with. But here's the truth and here's the reality. This Christmas season, your circumstances and your situation doesn't diminish or change what the celebration of Christmas is all about. And it's all about a celebration of a Savior who's been born, who is Christ the Lord. And it's about a celebration of a Savior who gives us a great joy. And so I put on your outline there the last thing: when your joy is in God, then nothing can steal your joy. That's why this is a greater joy. Those other joys, just the common joys of life, they're fleeting. They're going to come, they're going to go, they're going to pass, they're going to rise, they're going to fall. But the joy, the great joy that we have in God, is that nothing can steal this joy. There's no situation, there's no circumstance, there's no event that can steal or take away the joy, the great joy that we celebrate in the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that has been given to us through a saving faith relationship with Him. This is what Jesus said in John 16:22, and I'll close with this verse. He says, "Therefore, you too have grief now." So He's speaking to His disciples, His followers, all who put their faith in Him. He says, "You will have grief." We will. We'll experience some difficult moments. We'll have grief. But He tells them, "I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you." And here's the deal. This greater joy is a joy that is in a person and not in a circumstance. And this person, this Savior who is Christ the Lord, He's unchanging and He's everlasting. And He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. And your joy in Him will be full and it will be complete and it will never be able to be taken away from you. That is the joy of Christmas season. And I hope that you will not lose sight of that. Christmas is a celebration of joy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that Christmas is a celebration of joy, and we are grateful that with all the unexpected things, all the unexpected events, all the unexpected circumstances that might arise in the Christmas season, the one expectation that we have is that it's a celebration of your birth. And it's a celebration of a hope that has been given to us, of a love that has been expressed to us, and a joy that has come, a great joy. A joy that surpasses all other joys. And again, my prayer, Father, is that if there's someone here who is yet to know and experience that great joy through a saving faith relationship with you, God, that you would stir and move their hearts to just simply say, "Yes. Yes, I want to accept and receive the greatest gift that I will ever receive, the gift of salvation that has been given to me. A Savior whose name is Christ the Lord." And that they would come to know and experience this great joy. And for us who have already experienced this great joy, I pray that that great joy would be seen in our life this Christmas season. No matter our circumstances, no matter our situation. Whether things are great, or whether things are just so-so, or whether things are not so great. Nothing changes the truth that this is a celebration of the Savior who has been born, who is Christ the Lord, and may the joy in us over that celebration well up in such great praise and adoration unto you that the world will take notice and they will want to know that same joy and that same Savior that we've come to know and receive in the celebration of the Christmas season. And I ask it and I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.